And now it's time for Dorothy's List, our series about the books nominated for Vermont's Dorothy Canfield Fisher Children's Book Award. Each month during the school year, we visit with middle grade students reading one of the books. This month, VPR's Amy Noyce takes us to Marlborough, where students are reading The One Safe Place by author Tanya Unsworth.
Library time at the Marlborough School is something of an oasis in the midst of a hectic school day. Students in this reading group are serving each other tea and cupcakes and getting ready to settle into their discussion of The One Safe Place. The novel is set in a future where the world is hot and inhospitable and water is a precious commodity. Seventh grader Lily Hillenberg starts by summarizing the plot. As she explains, the main character, Devin, is left alone on his farm after his grandfather dies, and he finds he can't take care of the entire farm on his own.
So he sets off to the city where his grandfather told him to go if he ever needs extra help. So he sets free all of the animals, and he goes off to find the city, and on his way there, he notices how different the world is compared to his farm. So he gets to the city, and it's very dry there, and he tries to talk to people, but they just ignore him.
The city is teeming with orphaned kids living on the streets. After a rough night on his own, Devin meets a girl named Kit, who shows him the ropes. There are rumors of a place where only the luckiest kids get to go, a place where children can have all the water, food, and toys they want, and they have a chance to get adopted. Kit says the rumor isn't true, until one day, Devin is invited to go. He brings Kit with him to the Gabriel H. Penn Home for Childhood. Once Devin and Kit get to the home, they get a tour from a boy named Luke. Devin notices something is off with some of the other children, and many of them don't seem happy, despite living in what seems like a paradise. When they get to a large gym, Devin notices some other people acting strangely, too. Author Tanya Unsworth takes it from there in this passage from The One Safe Place.
"Who are they?" he asked Luke. "What are they doing?" The reason they were all so still, he now realized, was because they were extremely old, older than he imagined it was possible to be. Time had withered them to scraps, held together by cobwebs and spittle. Only their eyes, glittering slightly, showed that there was life inside their brittle husks. One or two stood leaning against sticks. The rest were sitting in wheelchairs, their shrunken faces surrounded by pillows. On each face was a look of utter concentration. He suddenly noticed another thing. Just a few moments ago, when they'd passed through the gym, none of the children were moving very much, but now they appeared in a fever of animation. They were running to climb the ropes. A few had already managed to get into the harnesses and were swooping to and fro, screaming and whooping. The eyes of the old people passed slowly, very slowly, from one child to another. "Who are they?" Devin repeated. "They're the visitors," Luke said.
The kids think the visitors are there to adopt them, but the truth is something far more sinister. The visitors are choosing a child to swap minds with for a little while so they can experience childhood again. But there's something different about Devin's mind, as librarian Rochelle Garfinkel discusses with her students.
He sees sounds and hears colors.
And can memorize numbers like colors.
He can like taste colors.
Anybody remember what it's called?
Synesthesia.
Synesthesia.
After reading The One Safe Place, this group of Marlborough students has some questions for author Tanya Unsworth. First up is seventh grader Cyrus Burt.
"Are the things at the home your idea of a utopia?"
"I think they are a kind of utopia, but they're the utopia that an adult might imagine would be suitable for a child. So the home has been sort of created to present a kind of paradise for childhood so that these old people can swap their minds with children and go to this kind of paradise where everything that they imagine is fun about childhood is there. So it's a kind of adult idea of what would make a child happy. And obviously, it's not a utopia at all because it's missing the one thing that really does make children happy, which is, you know, love and security and true, you know, safety. it has the appearance of a utopia, but of course, you know, it's the opposite of that.
Seventh grader Niamh Whitehouse wonders how the author came up with such a concept.
What was your inspiration for the book, The One Safe Place?
It's hard to remember, but I think it came when I went to the dentist one day. And I really don't like going to the dentist, like a lot of people. And I was sitting in the waiting room and I suddenly thought, wouldn't it be great if I could take my mind somewhere else? Not in my imagination, but literally somewhere else. I thought it would be fantastic to be able to swap minds with someone who was having a really good day. And then when all the horrible, nasty stuff had been done on my teeth, I could swap minds again and be back in my body and it would all be over and done with. And I just kept thinking about this and thinking how great it would be. And then I also thought, well, it would also really be actually terrible if we could do that.
Seventh grader Samantha Mills had this observation about the adult characters in The One Safe Place.
As I read the book, I noticed that the authority / adult figures weren't very responsible and weren't nice to the children. And I was wondering what made you choose that about all the adult characters and why there wasn't at least one character that was kind and sweet and loved children.
Well, that's a really good question. And you're right. The adults are pretty awful. I'm not sure why I made them all awful. I do have one adult character who is very nice, although he doesn't appear in the book. He's really only in Devon's memory, and that's his grandfather, who has raised him with love. And later on in the book, when Devon gets into difficulty, he sort of hears his grandfather's voice in his head telling him to be strong and hold on to himself and remember who he is. So the grandfather was a sort of positive adult in the book. But you're right, the rest are absolutely disgraceful. And I have no excuse for that. I think when I was a kid, I kind of thought that lots of grown-ups were kind of evil, so maybe that was part of it.
Seventh grader Broden Walsh has our next question.
I was wondering how you knew that older people yearn for their childhood back. Did you get this information through interviews, personal experiences, a guess, or is it just fiction?
I think actually that's one of the best questions about this book that I've ever been asked. How do I know that adults want to get their childhood back? Well, I'm an adult myself, and I had a very happy childhood. And as I was coming out of it, I was quite aware that it was passing. I don't know if other children have that feeling around the age of 11 or 12, that things are changing and feel sad about it. And I wanted to get older, but I also felt sad. And that feeling of sadness kind of stayed with me a little tiny bit into being an adult. And I think that perhaps, you know, in the back of their heads, a lot of adults kind of yearn for that time when you're really innocent and young and you don't have too many problems and you see the world in a certain way. And that's something you kind of carry through your whole of your life, I think.
Student Moreau Rosner wonders how the author would feel if she were in her character's shoes.
Would you appreciate the home if you were in their position but knew the consequences?
I think, you know, if I was a kid in that situation, you know, just like the other kids, to begin with, the home would seem like a refuge because life outside was so tough. And to begin with, I would be able to think about was the fact that there's food there and water and company. But I think very quickly I would want out of it. I think if I'd known beforehand, I wouldn't go, to be honest, because what it does to the kids' heads is really, really bad and sort of irreversible. And yeah, I'm not sure I'd have gone in there.
The dystopia that Tanya Unsworth creates in The One Safe Place forces the reader to imagine dark elements of humanity. But fortunately for these Marlborough School students, they can reflect on those concepts of selfishness and survival in the oasis of their school library, complete with tea, snacks, and stimulating literary discussions. For VPR News, I'm Amy Noyes.
The book is The One Safe Place by Tanya Unsworth, thanks to librarian Rochelle Garfinkel at the Marlborough School. Kids around the state are voting right now to decide which book will win the Dorothy Canfield Fisher Award. Ask your school or town librarian for information on how your child can participate. The voting deadline is April 25th. And next month on Dorothy's List, we'll reveal this year's winner and we'll get a preview of some of the books nominated for next year's award. Dorothy's List is sponsored by the VPR Journalism Fund.